Nicodemus is an expert in the Hebrew Bible. He's highly educated. He is a highly respected leader. He hears about this Jesus, and he wants to meet him for himself. And so he comes to Jesus by night. He likely came by night because he did not want his conversation with Jesus to be publicly known. He might have even been embarrassed or ashamed that he sought to have a private meeting with this traveling rabbi. And so he goes under the cover of darkness. But he also comes under the shroud of intellectual and spiritual darkness. Nicodemus' purpose for going to meet Jesus is not really even that clear. Ironically, maybe not that clear to even Nicodemus himself. At first, Nicodemus sounds like he has come to validate Jesus and his ministry. Rabbi, we know that you come from God, for no one can do these signs apart from the presence of God. Jesus turns the tables very quickly to say that no one can enter or see the kingdom of God without being born again, born from above. In other words, Nicodemus, you cannot truly understand the kingdom through intellectual assent. And when that confuses Nicodemus, Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven apart from the water and the Holy Spirit. In other words, Nicodemus, you cannot truly participate in what God is doing in the world and understand his reality unless it comes through baptism of water, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, new life in Jesus Christ. And so he tells Nicodemus not to be astonished. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. You cannot control it. You don't know where it's coming from. You do not know where it's going, Nicodemus. So is the reality of God. God is free. How can these things be? Nicodemus asks. And that's when Jesus really turns the tables on Nicodemus. Are you a teacher of Israel? Are you an expert of Hebrew Bible, a Pharisee, understanding all things? You come to validate me as a faithful teacher, and yet I cannot even validate you in your learning? I love this exchange between Nicodemus and Jesus because it reminds us of something very important. That Christianity is not about how much you know. It's not about intellectual knowledge. Being a child of God is not about how smart you and I are. God is not impressed with our intellectual knowledge or our arrogance. As one pastor in New York City told me a few weeks ago, theological superiority does not do well in the city. Does not do well anywhere. Ironically, confidence in ourselves, in our smarts, in our abilities, they actually hold us back, as it held Nicodemus back, who stood there in astonishment, not receiving the reality of the kingdom. Just like Nicodemus, we are in the dark, coming to Jesus by night, if we think that we can intellectually make our way to God. I believe that God is calling us to surrender some things this morning through this text, to let go of the pride, to let go of that notion that we have this God thing figured out. He asks us to let go of that delusion that God could be fit into a box or be reduced to a manageable formula. And if we just get it right, God will bless us. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Scripture says, and thanks be to God that we do not enter the kingdom of God through our theological prowess, our intellect, or our street smarts. We walk by faith, not by sight. And when we do, when we walk by faith in God and trust in him, we open ourselves up to the majesty and mystery of God. We have a glimpse of his glory through Jesus Christ. And now our intelligence can be put to good use. As Luther reminded us, our intellect and our reason should be serving the scripture and the word, not the other way around. Our intelligence is now filled with the wonder of who God is for us. We enter the kingdom of God as little children. And like all children, we're born of water. But now as children of God, we're born of water, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Unless we become as little children, Jesus says, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was humbled by this conversation and brought into the awe and wonder of God. We later find out that Nicodemus is a closet disciple of Jesus, helping carrying his dead body to be entombed. Nicodemus' humility and being brought into the wonder and awe of God is a good thing. It's the same thing that happens to Isaiah in our Old Testament text, where he says, woe is me, I'm undone, a man of unclean lips, realizing his mortality, his sinfulness, and his unworthiness, but then his worth in God. Nicodemus also realizes the limitation of his brilliant mind, which I'm sure he had. He came to visit a teacher under the cover of darkness, only to be blinded by the light of that Nazarene, that rabbi, Jesus Christ, who's more than just a teacher. He's God's son, sent by the love of the Father to bring forgiveness and eternal life to anyone who would trust in him by faith. Not by our credentials, not by our intellect, even our sincerity or our good works. That is what Jesus graciously does for Nicodemus. He helps him let go of the delusion that he has everything categorized and figured out. Jesus helps Nicodemus let go of what he thinks he knows about Jesus and enter into a life-changing relationship with him, the one who transcends all understanding. That is what Holy Trinity Sunday is all about, to be humbled and brought into the awe and wonder and mystery of that one true and living God, who's also three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father loves the world, Jesus tells us. He demonstrates his love by sending his Son to be born, to live, to heal, to teach, to die, to rise, to ascend to the right hand of the Father, then sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts to live and to enliven our hearts, to be born again, born from above, forgiven with that assurance of eternal life dwelling within us. There is no way we can wrap our minds around that. And that is just the point that we are to discover through this story of Nicodemus. It's not about our minds wrapping ourselves around God. It's about the mystery of God and his love, those forgiving and life-giving arms that wrap around you and around me by his grace. Cleansed of pride and self-righteousness, Nicodemus and we are finally ready to receive that simple, profound, and mind-boggling truth. that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.